It's a story of challenging human relationships. It's a story of David and his relationship with Nabal and Abigail. David has been anointed king, but he is in exile and he's also a fugitive. Nabal means empty person. He was very rich, very greedy, and the Bible says churlish. And the dictionary says a churl is a rude person, a countryman of the lowest rank. Abigail means father of joy, kind of a strange name for a lady. But she was a woman of good understanding and had a beautiful countenance. But she was married to foolish Nabal. Why? Why would Abigail marry such a crude, selfish man? And I don't know, but it's likely that this marriage was arranged. It probably was not Abigail's choice. Perhaps Nabal was able to marry her because he had a lot of money. So I'm going to read 1 Samuel 25. It's kind of a lengthy passage, so pay close attention. I know we kind of messed up your Sunday school hour, and so I'm going to ask the children and maybe the youth and adults too for some input. So be ready for that. We'll try to accommodate you a little bit with your taking your Sunday school hour. 1 Samuel 25. And Samuel died, excuse me, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. I was going to mention, I have a question for the children. I want you to tell me why you think Abigail was nice after I get finished reading this. Verse 2, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great and had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and had a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night. All the while we were there, we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a man of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Now Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept back his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. I'm going to cease reading there. So children, what did you hear about Abigail that you like, or that you would call as a good virtue? Are y'all brave enough to talk at this church? any of the children have anything that you thought about that in Abigail that you would like to see in your mother or your sisters? Okay, youth or adults, what are some virtues that Abigail had?
Kind.
Kind, yes. That's a very important thing. Any others? Wisdom. She was a woman of good understanding.
She made up for all her husband's deficiencies.
Made up for all of them. Well, I hope my wife can make up for mine like that then. That's great. Wow. Generous.
Servant.
A servant. Yes. Thank you. A few that I thought of. She had a beautiful countenance. And that has to do with what you put on your face. You know, that it doesn't say that... that her features were beautiful. It just had a beautiful countenance. And your countenance is really a window to your soul. And I love when the chorus stands up and they have nice countenances. And this is my chance to preach to the choir, I guess. But I thought they did pretty good this morning, and I love to see that beautiful countenance coming out on their faces. She was a woman of good understanding. She was willing to hear advice from a servant. She was practical and diligent. She was not addicted to TV or social networking. She was a person of action. She was decisive. She knew how to show respect. She actually unarmed David with respect, just by showing him respect. She freely spoke of God, and she had a servant attitude. She gave God credit for her wise actions. And then I have a question. Did she have the gift of prophecy? How did she know so much about David's future? Okay, I have a question for the wives. What does a woman want in marriage? That should be a pretty easy question. What does a woman want in marriage? Security, okay, that's one I had. And there could be a lot, but I'll just give the ones I have. Security, she wants a companion, she wants love, and appreciation. Did you think of any more that you would like to add so that we could think about it? Do you think Abigail was experiencing these qualities in her marriage? Was she experiencing this companionship, security, love, appreciation? I think the answer is no. I think it is safe to assume that Abigail was disappointed with her marriage. And this is a question for everyone. How do we react naturally to disappointment? What's the natural reaction to disappointment? I'm sorry?
Hurt?
Yes. Disappointment hurts. Resentment.
Frustration.
Yes. Give up. Depressed. Yeah. I wrote down sad, depressed, self-pity. We hurt others sometimes when we're disappointed. Anger. We can turn to addictions, resentment, etc. Do we see these responses in Abigail? Did she have any of these responses? We don't see it in the chapter today. How could Abigail respond so beautifully with a grouchy husband? How could she be so cheerful and kind when things at home were so depressing. And in verse 24, she even took the blame for her husband's foolishness. To me, it's obvious that Abigail had a living relationship with God. In her speech to David in verses 24 through 31, she uses the name Lord 7 times. It seems just natural for her to speak of the Lord. She uses His name as if she is well acquainted with Him. Abigail's godly life was a result of her faith in God. Her life was a testimony that she walked with God, and that will still work for us today. When we exercise faith in God and His Word, we receive power to rejoice even in the most trying circumstances. When we obey God and trust His promises, He gives us grace to do even the most difficult relationships. I had to think about a lady that lives next door to us. Actually, she's in Iraq right now, but she would be former Muslim. Her name is Ramonda. She came to Christ maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And she had been originally from Lebanon, converted to Christianity, and her husband divorced her. He's still Muslim, and remarried a younger woman. And Ramonda's testimony is that she wants him to know the Lord. And I am just amazed at how she has forgiven him and reaches out to him. Actually, he visited our house. Ramonda lives right next door to us, kind of in our doughty end. And when he was coming to visit, we were thinking, how are we going to relate to him? We weren't sure if we could be kind to him, you know, after the way he's treated Ramonda. But her attitude was so good that it was no problem. I mean, we became friends, and we're still friends. And she wants him to know the Lord. And so it's just a tremendous testimony of God's power. You know, her family, her brothers and sisters, think she's stupid for the way she acts. But for us, it is an example of God's grace and power. Nabal is an example of a person that lives life without God. And we are all a lot like Nabal naturally. We were born with a nature just like his. Through the discipline of parents, and maybe rigorous self-discipline, we may cover the old nature enough to be socially acceptable. But without God's grace, we can never live like Abigail did. Men, what would you say if someone came to you, as David's men did, to Nabal, and asked you to share the fruits of your labor? What would you do if someone would say, I need some of your food? Now, I know that David had some, he had done some work, and he deserved that. But I think I might tend to answer a little bit like Nabal. You know, what business do you have asking me for stuff that I didn't agree to give? You know, I don't feel like I have any obligation. But what does the New Testament says? It says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Matthew 5:42. Just some contrasts between Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was greedy. He wanted to keep riches for himself. Abigail was generous. She was concerned about the needs and welfare of others. Nabal didn't want to be bothered with serving others. Abigail was quick to serve, even offering to wash the feet of David's servants. Nabal wanted to live independent of God and control people and things. Abigail wanted to obey God and help others. Nabal wanted to eat and drink like a king and forget those that were needy. Abigail missed out on the banquet to feed those that lacked. We don't need to do great things to be like Abigail. One of the things she was noted for was her beautiful countenance. A smile and a kind word is something we can all give. But to give even these small things consistently requires the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. The only way for true and lasting change is to be born again by God's Spirit. John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." A little while ago, I was at a funeral, an Amish funeral, and the preacher said, "Mimissa nayan vira geboren sai." That means you must be born again. And so whenever an Amish preacher says that, I'm really interested in what they have to say. So I was listening. He said, "Mimissa nayan vira geboren sai." We must be born again. And then he said, "Vi visamus manayan vira geboren sin." How will we know that we are born again? And his comment was, ask your wife or your children to tell you if you're born again. That is a very Anabaptist idea, I think. I can remember a prominent Protestant writer and teacher who said, the only person that he knows of that is born again is himself. He said he's pretty sure his wife is, but he said the only person he really knows is born again is himself. And maybe there's some scriptural reason for that, because our spirit, you know, God's spirit witnesses to our spirit. But I think what the Amish preacher said, I think there is scripture that would tell us that we can look at people's lives and expect, you know, what their relationship is with God by how their lives are. We can ask our wife or our children, and I think a question like that can take them by surprise too, and they won't maybe know quite what to say, but it's a good thing to do. The Bible says, "By their work ye shall know them. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." And there's a host of scriptures that talk about fruit and how that we can know where someone is by how their lives are. I want to talk a little bit yet about the wise servant. In verses 14 through 17, the servant had a very critical part in our story. And I was thinking, could he be a type of the Holy Spirit, bringing good information and direction, willing to be unnoticed and insignificant? John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Verse 14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." As Christians, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all truth. We can choose to quench the Holy Spirit, or we can listen and obey. Nabal refused to hear his servant. If we refuse to hear our servant, or a brother that is not very highly esteemed, or a child, perhaps we would not be humble enough to hear the Holy Spirit either. We need to be able to hear our brother, our servant, children. When we have that kind of humility, then we can hear the Holy Spirit too. It seems almost like a fairy tale romance that Abigail marries David at the end of the story. She goes from being married to grouchy, crude, foolish Nabal to being the bride of the sweet psalmist, national hero and future king of Israel. This is a beautiful type of the church. Today the church faces many trials, deceptions, and persecutions in a hostile world, but a new day is coming when she will be delivered from this ungodly environment to become the bride of Christ in the bliss of heaven. Today we live in a world where there's lots of challenges. There's lots of broken homes, unwanted babies, perversions of all kinds, evil men waxing worse and worse, deception, etc. But a new day is coming for the faithful bride. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. These verses are actually in one of the songs that the chorus is going to sing later on. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So here in our life on earth, we should maybe expect that to have some of the difficulties that Abigail had as a bride in waiting. But there is a better day coming. Perhaps you live where you need to relate to grouchy people. Someone is treating you rudely. Is someone making foolish decisions that affect your welfare badly? Do you live with someone who has bad habits or addictions? Can you be like Abigail and have a beautiful spirit, be patient, understanding, and forgiving? This world has a great need for people like Abigail. People that walk with God regardless of those around them. People that know joy and peace even in chaos. People that serve the Lord and the needy while the world feasts and drinks. People that will shine as lights in this world's darkness. Turn with me yet in closing to Titus 2. Titus 2 verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let's kneel together and pray.